Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. I'm glad, thank God, for Jubilee. Amen. Good to see some familiar faces, some men of God that have stood faithful another year. Amen. And I'm back in the house of the Lord and serving God and seeing God bless you. And what a privilege that is. I don't deserve to be up here, and I say that with all sincerity, but I appreciate the honor that it is to preach, preacher. And I woke up with this message on my heart. I had a few of the thoughts go through my mind this week, but this message is on my heart this morning, and I felt like if God would give me the opportunity to preach today, this is what I would preach. And so I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Judges, chapter number 2. Or the book of Judges, chapter number 2. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad you can't exhaust it. Amen. And it won't be expired because it's inspired. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter number 2. I want you to look in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day, and I thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege that it is to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I thank you, dear Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that you've called me to preach, and I thank you, dear Lord, for the burden that you placed on my heart this morning. And Lord, I'm in desperate need of the touch of God. I'm in desperate need, Lord, of your unction. I'm in desperate need of that liberty, Lord, that touch, Lord, that can come from no one else. And Lord, I need you today, and I pray that you would help us, that you would fill us. Lord, you'd anoint us, and you would, Lord, allow the presence of God to fill this place. May the Spirit of God take its word and begin to work in our hearts. Would you change our lives? Give us an exhortation, a warning. I pray, Father, that we would leave this place changed by your truth. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now, we understand the story and the setting that this verse, these verses that we read are taking place. Joshua, the son of Nun, has taken over and has led the people of God into Canaan, and they have possessed that land. And we come to Judges chapter number 2, and we find that Joshua has come to the end of his days and has died and now is being buried. And in one verse, we find all that generation that followed Joshua and followed the Lord with all of their heart. They have now passed off to the scene and have been gathered unto their fathers. Now there's another generation that has risen, which the Bible tells us knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. Now it was not two generations. It was not three generations. It was one generation that followed, a generation that knew God, that knew the works which he had done, that had saw God with all of their heart, that saw God drop the walls of Jericho, that saw him part the waters of the Red Sea and Jordan, to see water come from a rock, to see manna fall from heaven. This generation knew God, and they knew the works that he had done. Now there's a generation that has followed them. They don't even know who God is. They didn't even know the works that he had done. Now, it wasn't that they didn't have a head knowledge, because every 7 years the word of God was read to these people, and the works of God were recounted unto them from the evacuation of Egypt to where they were at the present day. The word of God was read. The works of God were reminded, put in the minds of the people of Israel. So they knew. They had a head knowledge. They knew who God was. They knew that mom and daddy served God. They knew mom and daddy experienced the work of God. They knew that, but they had never experienced it. It's a completely different thing for someone to have a head knowledge, Brother Jeremiah, than to experience what I'm talking about. I'm afraid we've got a generation who knows who God is. Who knows who He is. They've heard Him preached about. They've heard Him testified about. They've heard Him sung about. But they do not know God. They have heard the works of the past. They've heard the revival. They've heard the testimonies. They've heard the stories. But they've never experienced a true work of God in their life. Never have they experienced that. This generation knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done. Now, hang on a minute. They're in Canaan. They're in Canaan. They're in the land of victory. They're in the land of promise. They're in the land where God said they were supposed to be in. They were where God was supposed to be real. Where the milk and honey flowed. Where the giants would fall. They're in victory. But this generation has fallen prey to that victory. If I can preach for just a minute, I want to preach on this simple thought on the victims of victory. The victims of victory. Generation that was in Canaan as a result of a mom and daddy who sought God, who sacrificed, who laid everything on the line and said, we will go with God. Joshua said, choose you this day. Mom and daddy said, we choose God. God worked. They experienced God. Now, because of that, they've got a children that they're raising up, and every day they've heard the word. Every day they've experienced God. Every day they would walk by the stones erected there in Jordan and were reminded again what God had done, but they did not even know Him. We've got a generation that all they've ever known is church. I'm a part of that generation. All I've ever known was church. All I've ever known was preaching. All I've ever known was seeing Brother Biddle quote the Word of God. All I've ever known, preacher, seeing you preach with the touch of God on you. All I've ever known was see men of God mount the pulpit and preach the Bible, to see God move, to see singers mouth behind the pulpit with a mic and have God fill them. That's all I've ever known. That's all this generation's known. And now, we've fallen victim to that victory. We're not living in victory, but we are living as a result of someone else's victory. Completely different. There's some things that take place when this victim of victory, when victory has been experienced and we fall prey to it, there's some things that'll take place. Number one, this generation knew not the Lord nor yet the works which He had done. First thing I saw disappeared was there was no song of liberty. There was no song of liberty. You see, when this generation preceding them came out of Egypt, they come out of Egypt and they started singing a song. They started singing a song of the redeemed. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. I'm telling you, there was a song come from their lips. They had known what it meant to be in Egypt. They had known what it meant to be under the burden. They had known what it meant to be enslaved by a taskmaster. They know what it meant to wake up every day just to go to work, just to come home, to get a bite, to fall asleep, to wake up, to go to work. They know what it meant to be in bondage. But we've got a generation that's sitting on a church pew. And they've never even seen themselves lost. They'd never seen themselves a wretch. That's why amazing grace don't mean anything to us, Brother Josh. That's why we can see amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And there's no tear. There's no smile. There's no fervency. There's no zeal. There's no remembrance when God saved you. You've never seen yourself a wretch. I'm telling you, I saved a 7-year-old boy in church with a suit and tie on the front row, amen. God saved my soul. I'm telling you, when I got up, there wasn't that big of a change on the outside, but there was a change on the inside, amen. I'm telling you, I was a thief before. I'd go for that grocery store, I'd steal any candy I could find. Do you listen to me? I'd lie to you. I was a sinner. I told a Church of Christ pastor that one time. He said, boy, you was a bad boy. I said, you're exactly right. And everybody has got to be a bad boy for they can get saved by the grace of God. Amen. We got a generation never seen themselves lost. And then we wonder why they can sit on the pew with their arms crossed, with a Bible on their lap, and no song. You get saved by the grace of God, you will know what worship is all about. You listen to me. I'm telling you something I learned along the way, amen. I had some good role models in a mama and a daddy and a man of God, amen, and some Christian heroes I looked up to. I had some good role models and some teachers in what it meant to worship God, Brother Josh. But I'm telling you something in my soul, I wanted to please God and worship Him. Where's it at today, Brother BJ? Huh? Where's it at? Where is it in our young people? No song of liberty. Yes. You get out of Egypt, there'll be a song. Amen. We're in Canaan. This generation was in Canaan, but their heart was in Egypt. That's why when you find mom and daddy passing off the scene, they went straight to the same idols they had in Egypt. You get them out from mom and daddy's authority, they go to the same gods and idols that the world is serving. Never experienced liberty. Never experienced liberty. No song, no triumphant, no smile, no zeal, no fervency of spirit, because they're still in bondage. I'm telling you, this song that they sung will be a song that's sung in glory. In Revelation, he said, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Amen. That's a song of liberty. I'm telling you, the man of God already quoted it. I'm telling you, the psalmist cried, I come out of that pit, and what did he do? He put a new song. I'm telling you, I knew the song, the words to Amazing Grace. I knew the words to the dearest friend I ever had. I'm telling you, it wasn't until I got saved, words didn't change, but the message changed. The meaning of the song changed. That song became something applied to me, amen. That was a song of liberty. Song of liberty. Thank God for it. Where is it in this generation? I don't know how many times my pastor has made a statement. You can take out select few people in the house of God, and what you're left with is a church that's dead on a hammer. Why is that? No song of liberty. We fall and pray to the victim of victory. Number two, man of God just preached my message. But number two, may I say, there was not only no song of liberty, but number two, there was no study of the law. Not one time you see this generation start looking back at the Bible. Not one time. You will not see them studying the Word of God. My, that is an abnormal thing in this day in which we live in. Find some young person who knows something about the Bible. You've got somebody that's unique and abnormal this day. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, that's exactly right. This church is far beyond the norm. I'm bragging on this church. I'm a part of this church, amen. We got young people who know the Word of God. I got Sunday school students that can quote the Bible while I'm trying to teach it to them. And if I misread or misquote it, that boy right there will correct me. Amen. That one. That's the kind of students I'm trying to teach the Bible to. You listen to me, knowing something about the Word of God. But I'm telling you, we've got a generation who knows nothing about the Bible. This generation knows nothing about the Bible. I was talking about the Biddle just earlier before the service, and we were talking about the importance of the Word of God. Brother Biddle, we was talking about that Bible, and I told him this. I told him, I said, you get young people that'll memorize the Bible, and they'll memorize it and apply it in their life. But I'm telling you, if God's never taken a boat up in their heart, it will kill them. If the Spirit of God has not taken a boat up in their heart and they are going to try to study the Bible, it will kill them. The letter killeth. It's the Spirit that giveth life. You listen to me? I'm telling you, it's a sword. That's not something you play with. That is a weapon. And if you try to handle no spiritual weapon with a carnal mind and a carnal heart, it will destroy you. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, it's going to take the Spirit of God. You wonder why we've got young people who can memorize the Bible and you never see a work of God. I'm telling you, the man of God, I remember we was having that hermeneutics class, all that study of the Bible, man, it just sent something to you. I mean, there's just something burning in you because it's the Bible. Are you listening to me? And you wonder why they can memorize so much Bible and there's no zeal, there's no joy, there's no fervency. The Word of God is not eating them up. I tell you why. There's no Spirit of God to take the sword and do a work in their heart. And it kills them. It kills them. It's easy to put on a show. But I'm telling you, when there's a Word of God being delivered to them and there's no Spirit, it will kill them. There's no study of the law. No study of the law. Deuteronomy chapter number 31, we could go there and read of the purposes that they Moses had them every 7 years reading the law, read the law, read the law. And it was for these four purposes. Number one, so they might hear. He wanted them to study the law so they could hear, apprehend. He wanted them to learn, to accept it, to accept the law. He wanted them to apprehend it, to accept it. He wanted them to fear it. Give him accountability to it. Amen. God help us to realize the accountability we have to truth. Yes. And he wanted them to observe to do the works of God. He wanted them to apply it in their life. He wanted them to walk in it. That's why he did it. That's why he wanted the Word of God studied. Listen to me. Where is the study of the Word of God today? Where is it, young generation, the generation that's coming up, the generation that is to fill in the ranks, if you will, that generation? Where is the study of the Bible? Amen. We're in a generation that knows nothing. We are spiritually ignorant. Yes. That's why we send young people to a college campus and they lay down on God. They have no foundation on which to stand. There has been no study of the Bible, no study of the Word of God. And when their faith is tested, they fall apart. Are you listening to me? There's no study of the law in this generation that's fallen prey to victory. No study of the law. Number three, I could read a ton of verses. I'm moving on, trying to mind the Lord. Number three. There's not only no song of liberty, not only is there no study of the law, but number three, there's no sacrifice of loss. See, this generation that lived in victory, all they'd ever known was waking up in the morning, having chores to do, and some fences to mend. They had never known what it meant to go fight somebody for what they had. They'd never known what it meant to face a giant. They never known what it meant to march around the walls of Jericho. They had never known what it meant to lose their brother standing next to them. They had never known what it meant to watch their father pass on and die on the battlefield. They had never known what it meant to lose. They were in victory. They were in victory. They had already possessed the land. It had already been possessed. They were building. They were planting. The crops were being planted. They were already inhabitants of the land. They did not really have to fight for it. They had never known what it meant to lose. We've got a generation that's in church today. And they come to church just to come to church. And they have no idea of the price.
Yes.
That the people of God have paid so they can gather together in the house of God and worship. None. None. They've never experienced loss, Brother Matthew. I'm telling you, everything has been so handed to me. Saved as a 7-year-old boy, things of God were just set in my lap. God hit me. Didn't have to fight for it, Brother Sutherland. I wasn't the one spending hours on my knees begging God to do a work. I wasn't the one on the battlefield fighting. It was just handed to me. But now, Brother Josh, I got a family. In this godless society, they need God. And I'm telling you, it's time to fight. It's time to lose, Brother Josh. Shouldn't take us by any surprise to see some casualties along the way if we're going to be a part of the fight. I need God. We need God. But now we've got a generation who don't even know how to tighten up the helmet of salvation. Who don't know what the breastplate of righteousness is. Who don't know how to carry the shield of faith. Who does not know how to handle the sword of the Spirit. They know nothing of fighting. This generation knew nothing of fighting. You go to Judges chapter number 3 and they are being taught the things of war. They didn't know. They never had to fight. And that's why when you see that generation pass off the scene and you have bandits and every other enemy come at them, they fall down and kneel down in complete submission because they don't know how to fight for themselves. Generation past that stood for things godly, that stood for things that were holy and right and based on the Word of God. They stood, they fought, they sacrificed, they lost. And we have what we have today. And now when things are getting tough and we're watching them fall by the hundreds, we are taken off guard because we don't know how to stand up and fight. Have no idea of what it means to sacrifice and loss. Fourthly, and I'm done, this generation had no idea of what it meant to struggle in labor. They knew nothing what it meant to be apart. The house had done been built. The fences were already put up. The livestock was already started. All they had to do was take care of it and put some mending here and there. But they didn't know nothing about being a part of the work of God. That's why, Brother Matthew, they didn't know it. They didn't care to fight. They didn't work for it. They didn't put their time and energy into it. And it didn't mean nothing to them. How much does the house of God mean to you? Are you willing to fight for it? If you're willing to fight for something, you're willing to invest in it. That's exactly right. If you're going to fight for something, it's going to be because you've invested something in it. Generation, we've lived in victory. We've seen God move. We've seen the works of God. We even know who God is. But it frightens my soul. Do we really know Him? Do we really know Him? Is there a song in your heart this morning? Are you saved? Or you've just been in church singing the same songs we've always sung? No song of liberty. You have something inside of you that sings the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Do you have a love for the Word of God? Great peace have they that love thy law. Do you know what it means to fight? Do you know what it means to be in a war? This war will be fought on our knees. Do you pray? Do you have a walk with God, Sam? Or John, are we victims of victory? Does the house of God mean anything to us? Are we victims of our victory? Father, I thank you for the day. And Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be saved, a part of the family of God. And Lord, I thank you for your presence this evening. Lord God, I need your help. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, not to fall prey to the victory that I've been a part of, to experience, Lord. God, you've given me so much. God, you bless me so much. God, I pray that we would not take it for granted. May we realize the importance of it. God, may we truly dedicate our life to you. Lord, I pray that if there be someone here, Lord, you've burdened my heart for someone this week, or that's not saved, Lord, would you deal with their heart? God, could they leave their Lord this afternoon, be able to come into the house of God even tonight with a new song? Oh, God, with joy and triumphance in their heart to know what it means to worship you and experience, Lord, your presence. God, help us today. Work in the remainder of this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll stand to our feet. Every head is bowed.